Jesus loves you. I just changed the title of my message. The title of my message is Salvation. And if that's not a picture of the love of Christ, there are no pictures. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, the great three in one. I trust you have been praying for today, God's service. I know that some of you have, because Wednesday night some came to me and said, "Brother Ron, I'm praying for Sunday morning service." I don't know if there's a special need anywhere in the house. You may have come today out of curiosity just to hear me preach, or perhaps because someone invited you to come. But I want to encourage you that if you have a need, if while I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, "You have a need," I want you to understand that you cannot meet that need in the pew. You need to come forward to an altar. And here's the reason why. Many times I have stood in the pew and said, "Dear God, take care of this situation for me." And it was between me and God. Now, under normal circumstances, if you make a deal with someone as big as God, it ought to last for an eternity. But unfortunately, God is strong and I am weak. And I lose the power and I do it again. You know what I'm talking about. But when you come to an altar, you have the presence of God. You have the presence of the church and all the people that love you. And they're going to back and support everything you do. And you have the encouragement to stay true to the promises you make to God. Today I would like to speak about simple salvation. Simple salvation. You'll discover that salvation is not so simple. Salvation is, though it be free, it costs us our lives. I would like to, for you, to consider, what does it cost me? What does it cost me? How does it cost my life? The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Recently I was talking to someone and they mentioned to me about heaven and hell. I did not bring it up. They did. Brother, when they bring it up, they ask for it. They ask for me to answer. I said, "It's real simple. If you receive Jesus as your personal Savior and live for God, you get to go to heaven. If you reject Jesus as your personal Savior and choose not to live for God, you get to go to hell." You see, it's your choice. And that is so true. Salvation, the act of saving someone from sin or evil. The state of being saved from sin or evil. We cannot categorize or measure the love of God. When we think of all the things that God has done for us throughout our life, I don't care if you're living for God or if you're not living for God. All of us need to consider all the things that God does for us all the time. Even though we're lost, in, even though I, when I was lost, God still protected me. I could tell you some stories how he protected me. Wrecks that I'd been in before I got saved. I've never been in a wreck since I got saved like those. Vietnam's an old story to some of you. You don't even think, you know, we're over here in Iraq. Vietnam was a war that soldiers were forgotten. Nobody, oh, you went to Vietnam? Bad. Oh, you was in the army during the Vietnam days? Bad. God protected me through all of that. On a PT boat, you know what a PT boat is? On a PT boat in the Delta, everyone in my squad, everyone in my squad, except me, was killed instantly. Instantly. From shore, someone fired a rocket and blew the boat out of the water. And everyone in it were killed. People don't understand when I say I was spared. I do not blame anything in my life on God. Listen to this. This is a testimony. I have it written down. I'll try my best not to read it. But I do not blame anything in my life on God. I try to live my life for God and give him the glory. I accept the blessings of God on a daily basis. And I accept responsibility for the bad or wrong decisions in my life on a daily basis. A young man told me one day, a young preacher man, know him well. He said, I sin every day. Boy, I tell you, my hackles went up. I thought, brother, I told him this. I made this statement to him. I said, brother, if you sin every day, you're not a Christian, you're a sinner. He said, no. He said, I sin every day. Well, we talked about it for a while. But then I got to thinking, if we try to live above reproach, if we try to live above the way we're supposed to live, slide the mic back on the tie. Listen, I went back and Ron adjusted it. And Ron said, now listen, we may have to stop worship for a moment and fix that mic every once in a while. Can you hear me better? If we tried to live above the area in which we can possibly sin, we kid ourselves. And we build ourselves up for a miserable time in our own life. A miserable time. And so those are things that we watch. So that's the reason I said I accept the blessings of God and I accept responsibility for the bad or wrong decisions in my life. Philippians chapter 4 says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if therefore by any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Think on the things that are righteous. Think on the things that are holy. Think on the things that are uplifting. Think on the things that are positive. Think on the things that help you be a better person and a better Christian. And God, our Father, will bless you. On the board, it said to look up. I don't know, are you going to put those on the board? I don't know if she is or not. But look up Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Well, actually, that's good. Look up Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. And look across the page to Exodus chapter 13, verse 14. Isn't that crazy? Salvation. Remember, my message is about salvation. And it shall be when thy sons asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this that thou shalt say unto him? By strength of hand of the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. Think about that. The words I want to see there is when you're asked by your son what happened. That's important. Brother Bill has been in the hospital all week. He's here with us today, and I'm very happy for that. But let me share something with you about Brother Bill that he shared with me. Now listen to the story. Listen to the story, but listen to this statement. What? It says, when your son asketh thee in time to come, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? Bill and I were talking one day, and he told me how he got saved. He told me what led up to it. He got saved in a revival. I even know who was preaching. And he was telling me all about this and how it happened. And that's the story that the dads tell the sons. That's what he's talking about here. Because he's talking about salvation. Now, you have to add a little bit in here. But this story that I'm preaching about this morning is a story of them crossing over the river on dry land, if you read all this. And you'll find that he's talking here about how that God got even with the Egyptians, because the Egyptians were trying to hold the Israelites back from their journey. And how this verse, if you read verse 15 and 16, it teaches that God said, these people you'll not see anymore. This is going to be the end of them. I'm going to fix it. What story do you have to tell to your children? That's an important question, moms and dads. Because, quite honestly, a lot of people, you see the advertisements on or you hear them and see them about the little girl coloring in the coloring book, about 4 years old, smoking a cigarette. I love to smoke when I color. Or the parents who teach their kids how to do drugs. Come in here. You're old enough now to learn how to do drugs. Or anything else parents want to teach their... Hey, I got a story to tell you. You know? It's important that we understand that God is in control, and the stories we share with our children, we should share with them something about spiritual things. Now, if we've never prepared ourselves spiritually, we can't do that, but that's what God wants. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The children of Israel were getting ready to take their first step into that rushing river. That river, the river was there, and God was going to depart the river, and they were going to take their first step into the river. Can you imagine going across an opening that has roaring water on both sides? You can see the roaring water over here, and you can see the roaring water over here, but yet God wants you to have the faith and the strength to walk through that valley, that river bottom, up to the other side. That's a trip now. What does it say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He was saying, this has nothing to do with what you're going to do. It has everything to do with what I'm going to do. So stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's always so interesting to me. Have you ever watched a show on TV and you watch it, the same one? Now, we can always refer back to some of John Wayne's Cowboys. About every time they come on, we watch them. Melinda is a John Wayne fan. And I always try to turn it off. It's got about 4 minutes left on the movie, and I turn it off. And she says, why do you turn it off? Man, here comes the best part. I said, because if I don't turn it off, then I know how it ends. And I'm looking forward to watching the whole thing again. But if I turn it off, why would I ever want to watch it again? Sometimes that's the story of our life. And here, what he's talking about is stepping out on faith. When he says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I've always said this. Let me say it publicly. I've said it to individuals. I don't feel like I should ever have to fight for anything. For example, let's use our pastor. He's not here. I can use him. If someone were to confront our pastor about something serious, I'd stand in the middle. I'd say, hold it, buddy. You back up. That's how I am. That's my personality. I'd protect them. I would hope you would do the same thing. Say, whoa, hold it, brother. Back up. It's not going to happen. You know, I've been in a few situations where I've had to step in and say, back up. That's not going to happen. That's what he's talking about. Back up. Back up and let me. God says, let me. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. The challenge of faith. This is salvation. What he's talking about is salvation. The salvation of the Lord. He was saving the entire nation by dividing the sea, and they were going to walk through. Now, if you continue to read, you'll find out after they walked through, the Egyptians decided they were going to go capture them and get them back. And they got out in the middle of the dry land, and the walls collapsed. The timer went off. God called for... Remember that verse says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God called for his vengeance. Where do you want to be when God calls for his vengeance with your life? Do you want to be in the middle of God and serving him? or do you want to be on the outside wishing? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Salvation is of God. Salvation is from God. And salvation is for God's creation. This morning, Bud and I was talking a little bit about creation and came up with the same answer. It must have been God that put this together, because how would we be put together? And he gives us all the same mind, but a different mind. He gives us all the same face, but a different face. An interesting thing to me, he gave us all a right hand, but yet you can put that right hand in ink and put it on a piece of paper, throw it in a computer, and it just comes up with one person. That's God. God is in total and complete control. When you think God is not in control, it's because of something you've said or done, not what God has done. I've done a few things that have pulled the control away from God, and I'm sure you have too. In Psalms chapter 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." This morning I'm speaking about salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. In another place in Psalms it says, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord." The salvation of the righteous. In Isaiah it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid." Another place in Isaiah it says, And it shall be said in that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. We will be glad and we will rejoice in the salvation of God." Salvation is from God. Salvation is of God. Salvation is a gift to us, a gift, a precious gift sometimes we can't measure. You know, when we have a grandchild or a granddaughter, we tend to try to measure that gift. We tend to say, that's so wonderful, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Or I have a grand, you know, there's nothing like grandmas and grandpas. I always say this, grandmas and grandpas can't spoil kids. That's just not on their card. My daughters and my son say, "Are you kidding me? Every time you're around us, all you do is spoil our kids." I said, "No, if they're already spoiled, I can't help it. Don't blame all that on me." But salvation is something that we need to understand, and we need to understand plain. Remember I said, how does it cost? How does it cost us? How does getting saved cost us? Well, by nature, we're a sinful person. By nature, we choose to do bad. I don't know what age you started choosing to do bad, but I can guarantee you there was a time when you chose to tell a lie or to pick up something that didn't belong to you. You chose to do bad. Your mama or your daddy didn't make you say that. You chose on your own. And so when I say, what does it cost you? It costs you that life. You see, we have lots of dreams and desires that we want to accomplish in our life. When I was a young man, from a young boy, I knew what I wanted to do when I grew up. When I got saved, those things changed. They did not change because they did not necessarily change because I got saved. They changed because I knew that that was not the path that God would want me to be on. I'll tell you a secret. There was a time I wanted to be a clown in a rodeo. There was a time I wanted to be a bareback rider. I've been a clown in a rodeo, and I've rode those wild horses and those wild bulls when I was very young, not very smart. Fun for a moment, hurt for a long time. We come up with all these things we want to do in life, but God says, and those are the things I'm talking about, those things, it will cost you simply that life. But I firmly believe this with all my heart, that if I didn't accept Jesus as my personal Savior and start living for Him when I did, I'd be dead or in prison. I'd be one or the other, dead or in prison. And so that is the life I gave up to gain the life that God gave me. And God, in His wisdom and in His power, wants to give you a Christian life and a good life. It may not be full of money, but it will be full of happiness. It will be full of joy. It will be full of sustainability. It'll be full of the things you have to have in life. And then, as God sees you living that kind of life, He will bless you with things you can't believe He finally started blessing you with. It will cost us our time to serve Christ. It will cost us our effort to serve Christ. It will cost us our dedication to serve Christ. The dedication, and it will cost us the time, the life to be dedicated to His service. You see, God does not save us to warm a bench. He saves us to go to heaven. In Luke chapter 19, He called 10 in and gave them something. The master called 10 in and gave them something and said, "Occupy till I come." I'm going to go away and I'm going to come again. "Occupy till I come." And this is what it costs us. He said, "Occupy till I come." That means you have the responsibility. God has given you something. Now, it may not be 10 shackles of silver. It may not be $100,000. But God has given you something. God has given you your ability to speak, or your ability to sing, or your ability to be a good neighbor, or your ability to be an inviter, or your ability to be hospitable. God has given you these things in life. God's given you something in this life. And what God wants you to do is multiply that. He wants you to share that. He don't want you to sit around on your hands and say, "Well, I can't do that." That's what He's called you for. That's the service that I'm talking about. Those things that will cost you, but those things you will be rewarded for.